We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about y'all. This show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. A few more text messages, and I'll jump right into the topics. Mark from Red Bay says, Joe is their cash cow. Without him, the rest of the family would go broke. That is probably true. Bruce from Hazel Green says, where is the leadership from Congress and the House? They need to invoke Article 25. Yeah, Bruce, my understanding, though, is Article 25 has to be invoked first by the vice president and at least four members of the cabinet. So what's going to have to happen there is Kamala Harris and four members of the secretary level of cabinet have to send notice to the Congress that they are invoking Article 25 because working with him daily, they can see that he is no longer fit for office. So it doesn't start with Congress. Congress can call for it, but my understanding is I think it starts with the executive branch having to send word to Congress. Jenny from Decatur, excellent comparison between First Ladies Wilson and Biden. You have hit the nail on the head, sir. Thank you, Jenny. Appreciate that. James from Harvest says, for the Biden family syndicate, I personally think it's more about them Benjamins than it is about those Vogue covers. He's basically the entire family's cash cow. Second person to say that. John from Huntsville, Phil, awesome monologue. Also, did you hear? Here we go. Also, did you hear Trump's sentencing date has been pushed back to September 18th? Wow, I had not heard that. And thank you, Big Rig, for Taco Tuesday sound effect. And a few days ago, I heard on the TV that a woman in Tennessee got arrested for hiding drugs inside of a Taco Bell tortilla. Okay. Okay. I'm going to skip the rest of it. Thank you, John, for all of that. Brand new texter, got to tell us who you are and where you're from. We got two of them, man. Marvin from Gunnersville is one of the brand new ones. Says, my first time to text, says, Jesus said, know the truth shall make you free. Socialism, it's what the left wants. There's the truth. I don't feel freer because of that one, but yeah, you're right, though. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Marvin, welcome to the text lines. Another new texter who does not say where they're from or what their name is first, so we'll get that from you. Says, wish y'all and everyone else would leave Biden alone and let him run. Biden's the best Trump ad ever, and Trump doesn't have to pay for it. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama said the same thing. Oh, it's Nathan from Section. He heard me. Thank you, Nathan. Welcome to the text lines. Glad we have some listeners up there in Section. And then Josh from Hayden says, you inspired me to do more, Phil. I just graduated my AMT class last week. Outstanding. Thank you, Josh. Man, I appreciate that. And I don't know that I had any part in it. You had to do it. So thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for serving your community that way. All right, let me jump on in here. Dipper number one, illegal crime. But Phil, is it all crime illegal? Yeah, I'm talking about crime committed by illegals. Aha. See what I did there? Let me just point something out, first of all. I've got stories here in my stack. I've got stories here in my stack from New York, from, where else? Ohio. I've got stories from Michigan. I've got stories from, where is this one? This was Queens, New York. I've got stories from Massachusetts. Illegal crime. Guess what? It's not just out there. First story I've got for you. You ready for this? Albertville, Alabama. Albertville, Alabama. I mean, I'm talking, that's literally 20 miles from this studio where we're sitting right now. Albertville, Alabama, up on Sand Mountain in northeast Alabama. 1819 News. Dateline, June 20th. An illegal immigrant has been charged with murder for a drunk driving crash in Albertville. February 28th, Armando Juan Sebastian, 24 years old, was allegedly driving under the influence of alcohol when he struck another car driven by 71-year-old Boaz native Philip McKay. McBay, later died of his injuries. Due to the death of Mr. McBay, Sebastian's charges were upgraded to murder, said Police Department Chief J.T. Carty. He is currently being held in Marshall County Jail without bond. U.S. Representative Robert Adderholt, Congressman Adderholt represents that area, said Sebastian's crime is part of a larger pattern nationwide due to the Biden administration's failure to address the crisis at the southern border. This is Adderholt's quote. He said, quote, "Situations like these are always tragic, no matter the circumstances, but when you learn that the person police say is responsible should never have been here in the first place, it just seems to make it all worse." And it does. And that's the point. You know, the other night at the debate, and I feel like this debate is like the never-ending storyline, right? But the other night at the debate, there was a moment where, in fact, it was one of the most prescient moments of the entire debate. You may recall this. There was discussion about the southern border and crime by illegals. And Trump made his comments. And then it went to Biden. And he was talking about abortion. And then he was talking about illegal crime. And then he was talking about, and it didn't fit. And he began to do a word salad on, Biden did, on all the different things about people being raped by their cousins and family members and things, and it's not the same as illegal crime. And what he was basically doing was dismissing the idea that illegals committing crimes in America is an issue. And then what galls me is you'll see the liberal media trying to spin it. Well, there's more crime committed by, you know, actual citizens. Well, there's more actual citizens. What's your point? How about this? There is something, like Robert Adderholt said, there is something exponentially worse about knowing that not only did the crime occur and it shouldn't have, but that the person who committed it shouldn't have even been here, and but for them being here, that crime would not have occurred. That's the thing. It is not just a crime that should not have occurred. It is a crime by someone who was not supposed to be here in the first place. And so many of these stories I've got in my stack today are not just crimes that were committed. Oh, be aware, another rape. Oh, be aware, another assault. Oh, gosh, isn't that horrible? An illegal alien. So many of them are people who were repeat offenders and repeat illegal crossers. And they just keep being allowed back in. How about this one? This horrible story. I mean, listen, if there's kids listening, just be aware. Fox News story, June 18th. Migrant arrested in broad daylight after raping a 13-year-old in New York Park. It gets worse. Illegal immigrant from Ecuador is in New York PD custody after a broad daylight sex attack in which police say he held a machete and approached two 13-year-olds, one boy and one girl. He tied them together, and then he raped a little girl while the boy was tied to her wrist. Christian Giovanni Ingalandi, a 25-year-old from Ecuador, entered the country illegally in 2021, near Eagle Pass, Texas, with his 3-year-old child. Where's that 3-year-old child now? New York PD leaders, NYPD leaders revealed during a news briefing Tuesday. Police released surveillance video of him, and listen, here's what you're going to see more of. And we got to be careful with it. But here's what you're going to see more of. A group of at least 10 neighbors realized they knew that face, and they found him. 10 people, just citizens, they found him. They swarmed him. I'm pretty sure they roughed him up a bit. They called the police, and they held him there until the police could get there to arrest him. Ingalandi was treated for minor injuries. It should have been worse. These are Biden migrants, Trump told Fox Digital. They are flooding our country. They are flooding our cities and states. And you know what? I got another one like that. Let me dig down in my stack here. I'll get this one first. Here it is. June 19th. The Daily Mail. A good Samaritan who beat up an illegal immigrant child rape suspect has revealed the sharp comeback he made as the man pleaded for mercy. Jeffrey Flores, 24, said he was yelling for help. He kept saying help, and I said, that's what the little girl was saying. Say it was the same guy, this Ingalandi guy from Ecuador. So yeah, not only did he get roughed up, he got roughed up hard. He crawled under a car trying to get away from the blows of 6 outraged locals who found him and made sure he wasn't going to get away. And they were thinking, what we're thinking of doing to him was much worse. It's a good thing the police got there. Here's what we got to watch out for. I'm not at all encouraging violence. I am encouraging this. I'm not encouraging violence, but I am encouraging this. You see something, you say something. You see something, you say something. And I love the fact that 10 people said, we know that guy. We know that face. And they went and found him. They knew what to do. They didn't just film it on their phones and put it on their Facebook page and live stream it, get a bunch of likes. Dude, you see that happen? Man. No, they intervened. They intervened. And we need more of that. But I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to have to watch it because the general public is getting sick of this. So sick of it that I'm a little concerned we're going to start seeing vigilantism. And I don't say that like I want it. I don't. I mean, I'm of the Wyatt Earp mentality. Nobody gets hung tonight. Listen, remember that scene from Tombstone? Wyatt Earp, you know, Sheriff Fred was just shot in the street by one of the cowboys. Wyatt goes out there, knocks him out, and then all the cowboys surround him and say, give us our man back, and he says, no. But then the crowd comes up, and they want to hang him. And he's like, no to that, too. Whose side was he on? He was on the side of law and order. I'm for that. Bad guys shouldn't win. Good guys shouldn't go vigilante. But I don't mind when people get involved and say, we're going to stop you from getting away until the police get here. Listen, I got a stack of these, and it's distressing to me that we have to talk about it. And we got people like Gretchen Whitmer, who wants to be president. Where's that article? How about this one? State House Republican leader Matt Hall from Michigan issued a statement saying that he was demanding answers after yet another illegal immigrant was arrested for breaking into a home and sexually assaulting two young children in his district in Michigan. He says local officials who promote sanctuary policies and the Whitmer administration are aware of the gaps in their policies and they're making things worse. Gretchen Whitmer is being talked about as a possible replacement for Joe Biden. They can't lose Michigan. It's in play right now. Oh, they got to have some diversity. She's a woman. We can make this work. Guess what? Whitmer has what she calls her newcomer rental subsidy program. Newcomers. They're not illegals. They're newcomers. What a joke. She wants to be president. And she has her newcomer rental subsidy program that offers rent assistance to immigrants and allows illegal immigrants who have been caught by law enforcement, but who then claimed asylum, to take part in the program. All kinds of sanctuary policies in Michigan. They even have half the House Democrats in Michigan co-sponsoring bills to give driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, making Michigan a welcoming place for those on the run from federal law enforcement. Gretchen Whitmer also has her Office of Global Michigan, the Office of Global Michigan, so they can attract more newcomers. That's somebody right there who is being talked about as a replacement on the ballot for Joe Biden. If you want to see borders closed, you're not going to get it with somebody like Gretchen Whitmer. You're certainly not going to get it with somebody like Gavin Newsom, who we'll talk to Melissa Melendez here in a little bit. Right now, I got to go to a break. Let me take a break right this moment. We'll take that. We'll come right back. I'm on number one of the Triple Dipper, illegal crime. Yeah, meaning crime by illegals. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth to put on a bumper sticker. So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, illegal crime. Now, listen, coming up top of the hour, we're going to have an interesting conversation with somebody I've had a chance to get to know a little bit, former state senator from California, Melissa Melendez. So as we're thinking about who are these people that say they want to be president if Biden comes off the ticket? One of them is Gavin Newsom, and I'm going to get some, you know, straight skinny from Melissa Melendez out in California as to what conservatives out there know and think about a guy who they've had to serve under and live under. That being said, let's talk a little bit more about what's happening on a nationwide scale. I've got a story here. Where's that one about Ohio? Here it is. Fox News had a story on June 10th, so what, 3 weeks ago. Headline, you ready for this? Ohio sheriff fed up with crime stemming from border crisis calls for a death penalty renewal. An Ohio sheriff said he supported the renewal of the death penalty for certain crimes as the state is ravaged by nefarious activities stemming from the poor southern border. Okay, this is Butler County Sheriff Richard Jones, all right? He is putting the blame on President Biden's border policies. He says he's seen a complete uptick in mayhem, he says, from illegal immigrants. It's cost his taxpayers over $4 million to incarcerate them in recent years. And these are his words. He says, I am angry. He says, people are fed up. We want something done. I don't know that we can stand President Biden being here. This is just a sample of what he's done. Lord, help us all. That's the sheriff. Over the last 3 years, he said, in just 3 years, 1,000 illegal immigrants were thrown into his jails for committing 2,000 crimes, many of which were violent in nature. Now, picture this. We're talking one county in Ohio. One county where they've had 1,000 illegal immigrants who committed 2,000 crimes, many of which were illegal, taking up to $4 million of taxpayer money to incarcerate them in one county. In Ohio. Y'all, that's central to the United States. That's how far is that from the southern border? And this sheriff is saying, look, he says, we had one guy that was deported 8 times. He said he was in my jail under 8 different names that we know of. He's here. He's committed murder while he's here. We believe this isn't the first time he's committed murder. We've had people that have been hit with vehicles. We have people that have been stabbed. One incident was when an illegal immigrant took a 9-year-old off her bicycle and molested her. Another is about a paraplegic who was hit by an illegal immigrant who then fled the scene. He says, listen, all this stuff about homegrown citizens also commit crimes. He said, I don't need extra crime coming in from other countries. That's a great point. Think about what has happened in that one county and then magnify it on a nationwide scale. So Americans continue to watch as crime by illegals occurs. And let me tell you something. Crime by an illegal is doubly bad because they are not supposed to be here in the first place. And then they are. And then they are everywhere. In California, what is being done right now to impact crime? Anything? Anything at all? Well, when Texas decided to get real about its border under Governor Greg Abbott's Operation Lone Star, I'm just telling you, he has made a difference on the southern border in his state. State governors have an opportunity to do something. Gavin Newsom is the other person besides Gretchen Whitmer who gets the most airtime in terms of would he accept the nomination if his party called upon him in the wake of Biden's, horrible debate? God help us if he does. In fact, I'll be honest with you, if I ever think there should be a movie made about the Antichrist and then you wonder what they would look like, I picture Gavin Newsom. The guy has that, he looks like the Joker when he smiles. All this slick back hair and schmarmy style. And listen, every time he gets up there to say something, he starts off like he's condescending. He's just going to tell you how it, and then if you press him on the point, you can see the spark in his eyes. He's ready to have the boys come around and break your knees. But Gavin Newsom is doing nothing to stem the tide of illegal immigration across that southern border in California. And it's big. And a lot of it's shifted from Texas. Well, coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with former California State Senator Melissa Melendez, see what her thoughts are on it and what she thinks about the idea of a President Gavin Newsom. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Oh, yeah. Like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. Listen, for the first dipper here today, we did an entire discussion on illegal crime by illegals. And I talked about the fact that in the middle of all that, you've got not only the waves of people coming across the southern border illegally, but the crimes that are being committed by some of them are just doubly heinous because the perpetrator shouldn't be here in the first place. And then we kind of add to that conversation that there are two individuals who are constantly talked about as possibly replacing Biden on the ticket. One being Gretchen Whitmer is an absolute open borders, sanctuary state politician. The other is Gavin Newsom from California, who is everything that I would not want to see in either a governor or a president, but there he is. Listen, somebody who knows it firsthand, who can speak to having seen and worked alongside him as a legislator, is Melissa Melendez. She served as a California state legislator for 10 years. She retired from the California State Senate in 2022. By the way, she's also a Navy veteran. She served for 10 years in the intelligence community as a Russian language translator. She and her husband have 5 children, one of whom currently serves in the Navy. She's a Club for Growth Foundation fellow. That's how we met. And she's also, by the way, the former executive director of the America First Policy Institute. Let me just welcome her to the show again, California State Senator Melissa Melendez. How are you doing?
Oh, Phil, it is so good to hear from you. I love being amongst people who are on the right side. It doesn't happen a whole lot in California.
Well, but let's tell you what, you say that. Let me get you to just affirm, please, that there are, you're not the only conservative in California. There's others. There really are, right?
Oh, gosh, no. There are plenty of conservatives in California. And, you know, so much so that they've actually launched another recall of Gavin Newsom. So they are out there. Trust me, they are out there and they're not hiding. I mean, some, you know, the Hollywood types, they try to keep it on the down low. But everybody else is pretty vocal about how they feel about Gavin Newsom running our state into the ground.
Yeah. Wow. Well, listen, a lot of times people who don't live there, and I did live there for a period of time when I was young, but folks who don't live there picture, okay, maybe it's the enclaves in Northern California, but you're a conservative former state senator from Southern California, am I right?
That's correct. And there are definitely, you know, like any state, there are certainly enclaves of, you know, conservative constituencies and the more liberal constituencies. But honestly, the conservatives are sprinkled throughout the state. We have many, many in Northern California, but we have a whole lot in Southern California, too. And I think Californians in general really are just tired of seeing what's going on here. And the thought of Gavin Newsom then moving on to sit in the White House is terrifying to most of us, even Democrats. You know, my Democrat friends say the same thing, like, God help us if he ever gets in the White House.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, having lived out there a while and just and also done some military duty, I did some TDY in Coronado. What a beautiful, beautiful state with so many resources. I mean, you're really living in the jewel, one of the jewels of this nation. And yeah, the policies that are too much in the majority out there right now are driving it into the ground, which is sad. But you served in the California State Senate during a time that Gavin Newsom has been the governor. I'm assuming you've met him personally and you've had to see him in action. Talk about that for a minute.
Oh, yes. Definitely have had my time with Gavin Newsom. And he, you know, it's interesting, though, because he's not really in tune with his party. He sort of separates himself from the Democrat legislatures. It was fascinating to watch. I mean, Jerry Brown was governor when I first got elected. And he was much more friendly with Republicans and Democrats alike. I mean, we certainly didn't agree on a lot of the policies, but he understood that you had to work with both sides. Gavin Newsom really kind of separates himself, even from his own party, sort of. I think he sees himself as in his own class. And I think a lot of, you know, the country has seen that with his, you know, prancing around the country and trying to be a Biden surrogate and professing his loyalty to President Biden, which I don't believe for a second. I think he's just waiting for one tumble down the stairs for him to, you know, jump in and replace Biden. But he is, he's in a class of his own, that's for sure.
Wow. Well, I mean, I look back and there's so many times when you see him almost like he's trying desperately to get on the national stage. Didn't he make a junket to China? I think he's actually hosted some state dinners, so to speak. He did the whole debate with DeSantis, which I thought was unusual. What was the reaction in California to the governor of California debating the governor of Florida?
Well, you know, everybody looked at it as, what in the world is he doing? We have a hot mess back here in California. Why in the world is he debating Ron DeSantis? I mean, you know, Newsom wasn't even a candidate for the presidency. So it didn't make a whole lot of sense other than ego. He just wanted to go out there and try to, you know, smack down DeSantis, which did not happen. For anybody who watched the debate, I think we all saw what happened there. You know, DeSantis certainly took him down a few pegs. But of course, Newsom comes back and claims victory. But when we have an exploding homeless population here, when we have the economy in the tank, where billions and billions, I think about $63 billion, you know, in debt in California, people just looked at it and said, you know, you're turning your back on the people you were elected to represent. And we have a lot of issues here that we'd like, you know, to be solved. And would you please come back and take care of it? But he's not really interested in that. He's been kind of running this shadow campaign for the presidency for the past couple of years. And I don't think that's going to stop. I still think he's hopeful that maybe there's a slim chance he could sneak in there. I think he probably realizes it is slim, but remember, he's looking ahead in 4 years because he wants to be the nominee, you know, after this next presidency. So he is certainly trying to play the long game, but I don't know how he stands on his record in California in front of the country, given, you know, the problems that we have here. I mean, every other state in the union is saying, look at what California is doing. Don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the most interesting surveys, I guess, that I see is every year U-Haul Corporation issues their U-Haul report, and they show you the states where the number one state for one-way rentals out of the state and the ones with the one-way rentals into the state. And California, successive years in a row, has had the most one-way rentals of trailers out of the state.
Yep.
And in a time when we wondered if Alabama was going to maintain its congressional, you know, delegation, we have 7 congressmen here. We didn't lose. In fact, California and New York lost congressional seats because of loss of population.
That's right. That is correct. And in fact, I mean, is there any other state in the union that you know of that has a Facebook page, a group on Facebook dedicated to people leaving California? Because we have 2. We have one called Life After California, and we will have one called Leaving California. And there are thousands and thousands of members to these 2 Facebook groups, all telling their stories about where they've moved to, why they moved, how much better life is in their new home state. I mean, that's pretty sad when you have an entire social media page dedicated to people departing this state. That should tell you something. And, you know, do we still have some people moving in? We do, but the out-migration is growing and growing. And, you know, that's why we lost a congressional seat, because people have had it. They're tired of it. They can't afford to live here. They don't like the policies coming out here. And it's not showing any signs of getting any better. I mean, we have, you know, a crime problem in California that Gavin Newsom has been insisting doesn't exist. We had the voters pass Prop 47, which, not to go into great detail, but it certainly decriminalized a lot of different things, lessened the charges. You know, that's why you see a lot of the smash and grabs here, because if you steal under $950, yeah, you basically get a ticket. Gavin Newsom says, no, 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 there's no problem. And now all of a sudden he's doing a 180 and saying, oh, we need to fix this. So people are, I think, are getting wise to the fact that he has his eyes on the next rung in the ladder and not on fixing California.
And yet I think it's also important to point out, you're the land of Reagan. I mean, it's in my lifetime that Ronald Reagan was the governor of California and launched his campaign for the presidency from the state of California. And I wonder what it will take to get back to being the land of Reagan. What do you think?
Oh, boy, I wish that those days were on the horizon for us. But until, you know, well, look, Phil, when you hand free things out on a regular basis, you get people addicted to those free things. And that's exactly what the Democrats have done here in California. Everything is free. And, you know, once you do that, you can't take it away. And now you've got them hooked. And so that's part of our problem. But again, we have a $63 billion budget deficit now. So that's what happens when you give everything away for free. Suddenly you run out of other people's money to pay for it. And that's where we are now. Getting back to the days of Reagan, I think it's going to take some time. I don't think it's impossible, because obviously, you know, we were there before, but it's the population and the demographic shift in California, I think, are contributing to that. Once people start to realize that the policies the Democrats are putting in place are actually hurting their wallet, then I think they start to wise up and say, you know, maybe we should try something different.
It'd be nice. That's asking a lot for them to wise up. But let me ask you something. I mean, so go back to Gavin Newsom for the next couple of minutes we've got together. So, I mean, from the outside look, and I know I'm biased, but from the outside looking in, he always has a condescending air when he addresses something, and he talks like the interview with or the debate with DeSantis. He was like, just like, trying to sort of press his way into issues like, I know better. And he feels smarmy, yeah, and he has that smile and that slick back hair. What's he like in real life? Is he a hoot to be around? Is he fun? Could you have a beer with him? Or is he just above everybody all the time?
He is exactly the way you just described him. I mean, he really is. No, he really is. He's no different. I think I've told you this before. You know, I'm positive that when he wakes up in the morning, he looks in the mirror, he moves his hair back with his hand and he says, "Good morning, Mr. President." I mean, that's what this guy's personality is like. He thinks he is above everyone else. And that includes people in his own party. That's why he's constantly butting heads with the Democrat legislators, because they don't see eye to eye. He cuts them out of decisions. He keeps them in the dark. They don't like it. Now, they still are going to walk, you know, arm in arm, but they're starting to get a little more, well, I guess they're bristling more at the way he does business. And even the press here gets irritated with him because he, you know, he ducks out. He doesn't tell people where he's going. He really feels like he is just in his own little world, and the rest of us should just be grateful that we get to, you know, orbit around him. But he's not a Reagan, for sure. He's not a Clinton. You know, he's not somebody who understands that you have to make connections with the people with whom you want to do work. He thinks that he's just going to do it on his own. He's going to, you know, run roughshod over everyone, and they better all get in line. And he assumes that they will. But that doesn't always happen. And in fact, I think I saw a video with, actually really made me laugh, because it was Governor Sununu who said they were asking a question about, you know, other governors, and they asked him about Newsom. And Sununu, you know, he said, like, none of the other governors like him. When he comes walking up, everybody's like, "Oh, man, here comes Newsom." So it's not just in our state that he's disliked. It's kind of universal.
Well, I got to ask you this, though. I wondered about this. So if I'm not mistaken, his ex-wife is Kimberly Guilfoyle, who is now dating Eric Trump. And I wonder, is that ever the butt of jokes at all?
Oh, my gosh, daily. I mean, it's just too delicious to think about, you know? It's like, come on. But he's got so many issues from his background. I mean, my goodness, this guy, I know that there was rumors that he was, you know, messing around again with somebody that was on his staff, and then she ended up leaving, and, you know, the press kind of treated him with kid gloves in that respect. But he's not someone you take home to mom, let me put it that way.
Wow. Well, that's what I figured, and I wanted to hear it from somebody who, like, knew firsthand. Listen, you hold the line out there on our favorite left coast. I mean, that's you're it's still God's country, and I believe that. But want it back, just so you know. Melissa Melendez, former state senator in California and former executive director for America First, thank you so much for what you do for conservatism.
Thanks. Anytime, Phil. And God bless you guys out there in Alabama. Keep stay strong. We need you. In California, we need you to stay strong. Thanks.
All right, sister. See you. All right, take a break, man. I ran long because that was just too good not to. But y'all stay tuned. We're going to come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines. Let's see what we got here. Brand spanking new in the text lines. Glad to have you. Bruce from Springville. Bruce from Springville says, the other night, Biden looked like he was embalmed by Jill. That's all I got to say. Bruce, welcome to the text group. We appreciate you. Thank you much for joining the show. John C. from Madison says, is Gavin Newsom a relative of Nancy Pelosi? I don't know. I don't know. We shall go to the Oracle of Google and see if we can find out, but I've never heard that before. If it's the case, I would be interested. Jay Graham from Decatur. Jay Graham says, they say the eyes are the windows to your soul, and Gavin Newsom looks dead in the eyes. There you go. David from Huntsville says, he sent me a video. I can't look at the video right now. I'm on the air. But Bill Maher roasting Joe Biden over his debate. Yeah, I see it. Bill Maher is actually, I will not at all try to portray Bill Maher as going conservative. He's not. What I will say, though, is Bill Maher sees targets of opportunity. He does not care whether they're liberal or conservative. He's gotten away from just being the guy who only jokes about conservatives to being willing to poke at all. And he's still very much a liberal. Julie from Hillsborough says, there's a woman comedian whose stage name is The Recovering Californian. She lives in Tennessee and she loves the South. I got to check that out. The Recovering Californian. Okay, we'll see if we can find her and put that on. So, coming up next, after this next break, we've got a law professor, Adam McLeod, who I got a chance to know when I was at the Alabama Policy Institute. And by the way, the caller we just had on a minute ago, Melissa Melendez, I met her also while I was in the Alabama Senate. Actually, I take it back. I was at the Alabama Policy Institute, and I went to a Club for Growth Foundation conference, Charlene and I did, and we met Melissa there. It's just neat to me to meet folks and recognize how good I get frustrated with state politics. I do. But man, we got it good here by comparison. I mean, I would go to these conferences and we'd talk about things we were working on in our states, right? And I would say something like, well, in Alabama, we did this and this and this and this and this and this, and we almost got this and this. And then somebody from California would stand up and say, well, we almost passed one bill that was conservative. Man. So anyway, John from Huntsville says Gavin Newsom should be Gavin Nuisance. I like it. And then Missy from Fontville says, nephew by marriage, I think, as to Pelosi. Ah, interesting. Okay, let's check that out. Well, we'll see. That would just fit the cabal, right, out there in California. Okay, coming up next, like I said, law professor Adam McLeod is going to come on. We're going to switch dippers. Lawfare is unraveling against Trump. Supreme Court decisions are amazing right now. Y'all stay tuned. We'll break it all down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right and we'll be back.